Record. Okay, I think we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Beis today. Okay, everybody, all set? So 32A of Daf Lamed Beis. I'll begin three lines from the top. Okay, and if you have a chumash nearby, it helps. So Tan Rabbanan Uvar on a level A Lama Huba in a copy in a matzo. So if you look or in chumash, you have a chumash, you'll see it. So it's Terek Tzayin Pasuch Chaf Gimel. So it talks about, let me just go through the Seder of the Avodah in the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara's, our daf today deals with this Seder of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara's going to say that first you have, again, it alternates between Big Day Zahav and Big Day Abad. Big Day Zahav are the golden garments. It means the eight begadim that a Kohen Gadol wears all during the year. And Big Day Abad are the linen garments, the four linen garments that he only wears on Yom Kippur when he does the Avodah Spinim, when he does the Avodah in the interior part of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kodashim. So the Gemara is going to say that the day starts out, he's doing Avodas Chutz. He's busy with the Korban Tamid. Then he switches, then he does the Avodas Pinim. He's busy with the Seir, the two goats, and the par, his own par. That's Avodas Pinim. Then he does Avodas Chutz. He's busy with his Ayil and the El Ha'am. It's part of his own Korban. He brings an ola, an aisle as a burnt offering, and there's an aisle as part of the court musaf. Then he goes back into the avodas pinim, and he takes out the machta and the kaf. He takes out the pan with the coals that he burnt this ketoret on, and the ladle that had the ketoret in it, and then he does the avodas chutz again with the tamid shel ben arba'im. That's the way it works. So the Gemara is going to say in 1 second, if you look in the chumash. So it says in Pasuk, at first it says he's doing the Avodas Pinim with the Seir. In other words, there are two goats, and he does the lottery with the goats. And then the blood from one of the Seirim, he's sprinkling inside the Beis HaMikdash, and he's bringing the Ketoret inside the Beis HaMikdash. So if he does that, then it says in Pasuk, Uvaron Olam Oed HaPashuk B'Diabad HaShul Vash B'Ol HaKodesh V'Nitam Sham, that Aaron will come to Olam Oed. And then afterwards, he'll take off the Big Day Abad. So the Gemara is going to say, if then it says, so the Gemara is going to say these psukim are not in chronological order. And first, he did the Avodas Pinim. Then he's going to bring the aisle, the two Elim. And then he's going back in the Kodesh to take the Machta and the Kaf. Okay, that's what the Gemara is going to say. So let's proceed in the Gemara, then we'll discuss in a minute. Okay? So on line 3, so Tanarban Rabbanu Ol Moed Lama Huba. Why is he coming to Ol Moed? He says Einu Ba Lohotzi the Kaf in a Machta. He's coming to remove the Kaf as the ladle, and the Machta is like this pan with the coals in it. In other words, the ladle has got the ketoret in it, or had the ketoret in it, and the coals were to burn the ketoret on it. He says, and then in the side he says, but whole parsha kula nimral seder. The whole parsha in Chuda in Chumash is in proper chronological order. Puts me pasuk there, except for this one pasuk, which is not in chronological order. So the Gemara says, "My time. Why do you think? Why don't we say it is in chronological order? Why do you have to say the aisle has to come before? Why can't we leave it where it is?" So Amar Rav Chisda Gemiri. So Rav Chisda says we have a lachal Moshemi Sinai, chamesh tefilah v'asar kiddushin tovel kohen gadol nefadish b'bayom, that the kohen gadol has to immerse himself 5 times, and then. And the 5 times, in other words, he's immersing himself between Avodas Chutz and Avodas Pinim, between Avodas Pinim and Avodas Chutz, and each time involves a changing clothing. And we discussed already yesterday and earlier that every time he changes his clothes, he's going to be do a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim when he disrobes, and a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim when he's dressed again. So, and this is the question, whether it's before or after he's dressed, we'll see. He says, but Kisidron, if I assume the Psukim are just the way I read them in Chumash, Kisidron, then it comes out, he does Avodas Chutz, Avodas Pinim, and Avodas Chutz. So there's only 3 changes of clothes. So he says, then there's only going to be 3 immersions in the mikvah and 6 kiddushin, washing the hands and feet. And our halakha Moshe Sinai is 10. So 10 only works out if he's got Avodas Chutz, Avodas Pinim, Avodas Chutz, Avodas Pinim, Avodas Chutz. Then it works out, otherwise not. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to quote let me just take a look. I found something here. Now, okay, so we went through this whole sugya. So the question is, though, why is it that the Torah, you know, does write it this way? In other words, we said that it's not in the chronological order, but why did the Torah write it the way it did? That it makes it sound like you only have like three. In other words, you have avodas chutz, avodas panim, avodas chutz. So the Vilna Gaon explains why the pasuk indicates the inner avodas performed at once, when in fact this is not the case. As cited above, Vilna Gaon quotes a medrash which says that although the Vilna Gaon holds, and it's apparently based on a medrash, that it says b'zot yavon on the kodesh, that Aaron a Kohen could come to the Kodesh Kodashim any day of the week, any day of the year that he wanted to, if he would do the Seder Avodah. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So he says that although ordinary Kohen Gadolim are forbidden from entering the Kodesh Kodashim in the middle of the year, Aaron a Kohen was an exception. Aaron was penitent whenever he wanted, provided to perform the Yom Kippur Avodah mentioned in the passage. So Aaron a Kohen could come any whenever he wanted to, as long as he does the Seder Avodah. So the Vilna Gaon suggests that if Aaron were to enter the Kodesh Kodashim in mid-year, he would only change it to Big Day Levon one time, and he would be obligated to perform only three immersions. Rav Fisk implies that the inner avodah is divided into two segments, only for the purpose of requiring the Kohen to immerse five times in compliance with the Lacham HaShem Sinai. This Lacham HaShem Sinai is Vilna Gaon only applies only to Yom Kippur, and not to Aaron only entered during the rest of the year. Therefore, the Pasuk does not divide the inner avodah into two segments, because it wasn't required for Aaron. All right, so it's a nice point, but you know, it's certainly a question you can ask, and it's a nice answer. Okay. Now let's go further back on the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to quote a long Brisa. Let's all be patient. And the Gemara is going to, you know, extrapolate from the Brisa. How do we know that the Kohen Gadol has to change his garments when he goes from Avodas Chutz to Avodas Panim? And how do we know that he has to do Kiddush Shaddai Baraglayim? So let's take a look. one second. Okay, Tanya. Okay, around line 10 on Lam Beis Amid Aleph, 32A, line 10. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So first we're going to have the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, then we'll have Rabbi. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Minayin Lefmeish Tila Basar Kedushin, Shavel Kohen Gadol, Mekadosh Bo Bayom. Where do we know that the Kohen Gadol immerses himself in the Mikvah five times, and he does Kiddush Shaddai Raglayim 10 times? So Tamad Lomar, Uvah Aron Loma Way to Pashat Big Day Abad, Barachat Vesterov Vayim Vavacham Kadosh, Vavashe Begadav, Yatzav Yatzah. So this is the pasuk that we had just mentioned a few moments ago in Perek Tzayin Pasuk Tav Gimel, that Aaron Kohen will be wearing the Big Day Abad. Then when it says Rachatz B'Sro B'Mayim B'Makom Kadosh, that means to be Tovah Namikva. Now remember yesterday we had the Gemara, we were learning Kiddush Shaddai Raglayim from there, but we'll see. It's going to be a whole Machlok Tanayim, not understanding these Pesukim. So, but the simple pshat is Rachatz B'Sro B'Mayim, when it says Rachatz B'Sro B'Mayim, doesn't mean he's taking a bath. Means he's going to the mikvah. He says, "Halamanata shkol neshanami avodah avodah tzan tzviva." So from here, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, "You see that when you go from, in this case, it's from avodas pinim to avodas chutz, because he's going, he's taking off the big day abad, and he ufashad begadav, and he's going to wear the big day zahav. So he's going to the mikvah. But that's going to be the model. Whenever he changes the begadim, he immerses the mikvah." He says, okay, so far so good. Now, I'm a Rebbe, minayin l'chamesh tefilot ba'asar kiddushin shtovel kohen gadol mekadosh bo bayom. Now, Rebbe says, Rebbe is mechulak with the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe says, how do I know that there are five tefilot and ten kiddushin, asar kiddushin? Shneimar k'tonet ba'nekodesh shabash. Now, he refers to a different parasha. And again, if you have a chumash in front of you, the article chumash, it's on page 636, Pasuk Dalet, or Perek Zion Pasuk Dalet. Okay, 16:4 in Vayikra. So he says, "Tonet b'kodesh shabash u'mitnasevanu al b'saro," that he'll wear the linen garments. It'll be a linen belt and a linen turban. He says, "They kodesh shem rachas v'ayim b'saro l'beisham." They're big day kodesh, they're holy garments. Rachatz b'mayim epesor l'becham. Then rachatz b'mayim epesaro, that means immersion in a mikvah. It doesn't mean a shower, it means immersion in a mikvah. U'l'becham. And to wear them. Halamanatza shkola neshanami avodah levodatan tefillah. So Mimela, from there, this is where Rebbe is learning from. First we had Rebbe Yehuda, now we have Rebbe. So Rebbe learns it from this pasuk. One second. So he's gonna be tovel in mikvah before he puts the big day abad on. But only our big day kodeshim, and it says big day kodeshim. That's in pasuk dalid. He says hukshu kol begadim kulam zelazet. That all the begadim is a hekesh between all the begadim. So if I see by the big day abad when he's going to the big day zahav, it'll also be true by the big day zahav when he goes to the big day abad. The chamesh avot now. Okay, so adkan. So the only thing we learned so far, again, we said, how do I know that I have to have 5 tevilot and 10 kiddushin on Yom Kippur? So the only thing the Gemara has said so far is that we have machlok between Rebbe and Rebbe Huda. So Rebbe Huda learned it from Pasuk Ted Zion. It says Uvaron el Olam Moed, that he'll go to the Olam Moed, he'll take off the big day abad, and now he'll immerse himself in a mikvah. That's what we said. And here we're learning that that's what Rebbe Huda says. And Rebbe says, so I don't learn from that pasuk, and we'll see why. So Rebbe says we learn from the pasuk by Keton Ebad. When he wants to wear the big day bad, he'll immerse himself in the mikvah. Okay, now the Braisa continues, and then I'll pose another 10 lines. There are 5 avodot on Yom Kippur. When it says avodot, again, avodot is being used in different senses. Avodot means like sets of avodot. There's 5 different sets of avodot. He says, Tamid Shal Shachar B'Big Day Zahav. So you have the Tamid Shal Shachar, the morning Korban Tamid, right? That's and we said, you know, it's also cleaning out the menorah and bringing the Torah, we said, also is included with that. He says, that's B'Big Day Zahav. Avodah Hayom B'Big Day Laban. Then he's got the Avodah Hayom, he's got the 2 Se'irim, the 2 goats, 1 goat he's shechting, he has his own par, and he's sprinkling the blood inside, the Kodesh. And he brings Ketorah in there. He goes to the Kodesh Kedashim. That's B'Big Dei Lavan. That's with the linen garments. Elo ve'ela'an B'Big Dei Zahav. Then he has his ram that he brings as a korban. And it was mentioned over here. That's in page 636, Pasuk Yemel. Ve'ayil li'ola. He has to bring an ayil as a korban ola. There's another ayil that's mentioned in Parsha Pinchas with the Musaf. Then he says, That's the big day zav. That's with the 8 garment. Kafu machta, the big day levan. Then he's going to remove the kafu machta. He's going to remove the ladle and the pan with the coal, and from the kodesh kedashim. That's the big day levan. Kamishol ben arba'im, the big day zav. And kamishol ben arba'im is big day zav. Okay, so far so good. Now we're not done with the brayse yet. A few more lines, then we'll pause. Where do we know? So again, so I have Rebbe, and I have. And I have Rabbi Yehuda and I have Rebbe. So they each hold, when you're changing a voto, you have to immerse in the mikvah. That we got. And they each learn it from a different place. Rabbi Yehuda learns it from Pasuk Chaf, Perek Tzayin Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Uvaron Lomawed, Pashat Bagdav. You know, he's taking off the Big Day Levan, putting on the Big Day Zahav. Right? Right? He's. So he's taking off the big day abad and putting on the big day zahav. So then he has to immerse himself in the mikvah. And presumably, whenever he's doing it, any other shinu, he's also doing it. And then we had that Rebbe learned it from Ketonah Bat Kodesh Yilbash, that when he's putting on the big day abad, then he has to go to the mikvah. Now the Gemara says, and we saw there were 5 avodot, so that's 5 tevilot. Now, how do I know that every tevila, now this is still Rebbe speaking, how do I know that every tevila has it, sort of with it, you have 2 sets of washing hands and feet? He says, Tamalomar, Ufashach rachatz rachatz v'lavash. So this is the same limud we had yesterday. So now we're getting an idea why Rebbe learns the way he does. So Rebbe learns from Pasuk, Rebbe learned, I had a little sift here from Yosef. So Rebbe learns from Pasuk Dalid, Tonabodash, about Kodesh Yilbash. That's the pasuk that teaches him you have to immerse yourself in the mikvah when you're changing begadim. And then with the other pasuk that Rabbi Huda uses, he uses it for something else. He uses it when it says v'rachat, the pshuto shel mikra is to immerse in the mikvah. But he learns when it says v'rachatz over there, it immediately means kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So he says, so it says pashat v'rachatz v'lavash is what the pasuk says. But the Rebbe learns the pasuk, the word, the verb v'rachatz goes on both pashat and lavash. So it means that when you disrobe, you do kiddush adayim v'raglayim, And when you dress, you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. That's the way Rebbe learned. Now, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon Omer, now Reb Lazar Reb Shimon doesn't learn the way Rebbe learns, and Reb Lazar Reb Shimon Svara would work well with Rebbe Yehuda. Now, again, Rebbe Yehuda learned from Pasuk Chav Gimel, so he's not going to be able to use that Pasuk for the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Reb Lazar Reb Shimon Omer, Kav HaChomer. He says, I don't need a specific Pasuk, I can learn it from a Kav HaChomer. Now, in a place where you're not required to be tovel, so he takes it that this is like in the previous staff, remember we had about Rebbe Yehuda, whether during the year a person enters the Azara, does he have to be tovel? So the Torah does not require tevila according to Rebbe Yehuda, right? According to him, the Talmud does, right? That was his bar plukta, right? So, right. This was on Daf Lamed. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only have to tefillah on the Rabbanan level, but on Torah level, no tefillah when you enter. So he says, so normally, a Kohen on a Torah level doesn't have to immerse in the mikveh, but he does have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. He does have to wash his hands and feet. That's clear. This is Makom Shon Tefillah. So in a place, as in Yom Kippur, where I see the Torah requires him to be Tovel, he says, Eino Din Shtam Kiddush. So certainly, he has to wash his hands and his feet. Ima lahalam kiddush echad. So over normally during the year, it's just one washing the hands and feet once. He says, afkan kiddush echad. So here too once. He says, tamalomar uvaron lo moed pashat b'beabad asher lavash. He says that Aaron will come to moed and disrobe the linen garments that he was wearing. Matalomar asher lavash. The words asher lavash is superfluous. Kol madam poshed elam asher lavash. When you take clothes off, obviously you were wearing them. El hakish pshita lavisha, make connection between disrobing and robing. Malavisha tam kiddush, just like wearing the garments, you have to do the kiddush adayim raglayim, and that we learned with the kavah kolmer. It means that normally a kohen comes in, he dresses the garments, he does kiddush adayim raglayim. But in this case, apshita tam kiddush. So two of the pshitas also has a kiddush. All right. Let me just stop for a minute and let's digest what we did, and then the gemara will analyze the brisa further. Okay. So the topic of this brisa was, how do we know that the Kohen Gadol has to immerse himself five times on Yom Kippur, and how do we know that he has to be Mekadosh his hands and his feet 10 times? Okay, that's the basic element. So we said that he's Tovel between the different Avodah, between Avodah Chutz and Avodah Panim, and it goes back and forth. He starts with Avodah Chutz, the Avodah outside the Heichal, and he does Avodah Panim, then Avodah Chutz, then Avodah Panim, then Avodah Chutz. So there's a machloket in the Brisa between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe. So Rebbe Yehuda learns that he has to be tovel when he changes clothes from the Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says that Aaron, when he's taking off the linen garments, the Torah says, he says, Rachatzit b'sarov amayim. He's going to have to wash his flesh and water. It means he's going to go to the mikvah and then put on the big day zahav. So he's extrapolating from there. Anytime that he changes his clothes, he's got to wear be tovel. And then, adding on what we know from the end of the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda will also say that he learns a Kal V'Chomer, that normally a Kohen during the year, any Kohen when he enters the Azara does not have to be Tovel. He's going like his own Shita, which is that there's no Chiyuv on a Derais level to be Tovel when you enter the Azara, but on a Derubana level, we said there is a Chiyuv, but there's no Chiyuv on a Torah level to be Tovel, but he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So where he has to be Tovel, certainly he needs to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And then we said that there's a Hekesh who says, Upashat Lavash. So I know whenever he dresses, he wears his Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. That would be like the way normally during the year. But here, when he takes off the clothes, he also has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. That's Rebbe Yehuda. Then Rebbe learns differently. Rebbe learns from Pasuk Gimel. He says about Ketonah about Kodesh Lavash. When he's putting on linen garments, then it says, Rachasat Usro Ulubay Sham. So he'll immerse in the mikvah. So where's Rebbe know? So there Rebbe knows about the tefillot. So where's Rebbe know about the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? So the later Pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda used for teach him tefillah, Rebbe uses that to teach Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. It says, Upashat, Barachat, Lavash. There, Barachat, Rebbe learns that it's a superfluous phrase, and we'll see further in the Gemara. So he learns I don't need the superfluous phrase to teach me immersion in a mikvah. So I'm going to learn it for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Happy group. Okay, let's keep moving. All right. Okay, so we're on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, 32A. We're around okay, we're around six lines from the bottom. Okay. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Now this, now the Gemara is quoting the Braisa. Now we're gonna take the Gemara quotes segments of the Braisa and analyze it, right? I didn't skip anything, did I? Okay. So Amar Rebbe Yehuda, minayin lachmei shtefilah ba'asar kiddushin shtobel kol gadol l'kadosh bo bayom. So earlier, this is just repetition. We said in the beginning, we had the long braisa, and now I'm going to take segment by segment. So in the beginning of the part of braisa, so Rebbe Yehuda says, how do I know there's five tefillah and ten kiddushin? He says, tam alom or v'ar on alom o'ed rakatsa b'sar o'bayim v'bakom kadosh. Halamana tashkol nashanemi avod levoda tam tefillah. So the braisa says, I see that anybody, it says, Aaron will come, he'll take off the big day abad, wear the big day zahab, he'll immerse himself in the mikveh. So from there, I extrapolate whenever you change from avodas chutz to pinim or pinim to the chutz, you have to be tov in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, wait, ashkan will be the lavan, the big day zahab. You prove when you're going from the big day lavan, which is the linen garment, to the big day zahab, the golden garments, and it was from the four begadim to the eight begadim, you're right. The pasuk says you have to immerse in the mikveh. Big day zahab, big day lavan, minayin. But where does he learn that when you're going from big day zahab to big day lavan, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that you have to be immersed in the mikveh? So turn page, lamed beis, the top line, 32b, the top line. So Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel. So what Braisa was taught in the base medrash for Rabbi Shmuel, kava chomer. It's a kava chomer. What's the kava chomer? Ma big day zahav shein kohen nichas behem lefnai v'lefnim tal tvila. So I see already clearly that that the big day zahav, in other words, when he's wearing the big day zahav, he's changing into the big day zahav. He has to immerse himself in the mikveh. So the big day zahav, he can't go into the Kodesh Kodashim with the big day zahav. Big day lavan shnichnas ben l'fnai v'lefnim, you know, didn't tell him to be alone. So if he has to immerse himself in a mikveh before he puts on the big day zahav, the big day lavan are the begadim going to get him into the Kodesh Kodashim, which is the holiest place on the earth. So certainly he has to be tovel in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, wait, ikl mifrach, I can ask against that kal v'chomer. While the big day zahav shekim paratan merubah. The big day zahav means the way the art scroll and art Rashi Lachor is saying, it's like gets a very type of kapara. It means the avoda he does in the big day zahav brings kapara on all sorts of aveirot. The avoda he does in the Kodesh Kadashim just brings kapara for tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Tumas mikdash v'kadashav is entering the base of mikdash in a state of tuma or eating kachim in a state of tuma. That's a very, very narrow type of kapara. Let's do the Rashi on that. On the top line, Taparatan Maruba, Shemeshamesh ben Koyimor Roshana, means those begadim, the big days Ahav, that he services the whole year with that. Now, the only thing is, Gemara and Shavuos learns is really a machloket, whether it's just Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. According to one opinion, the par of the Kohen Gadol brings Kapara for the Kohenim for all the Aveirot. But even if you would say that, the way I would say it is that if you go, so Rashi is going with the side that it's only Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashah. But if I say that there's a little bit more of Kapara, but Kapara Tan Meruba could mean that the scope of the Kapara from the outdoors is much greater. In other words, he's bringing Kapara for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of their Aveirot. So anyway, so back in the Gemara. So the point is, as you assume the Big Day Lavan, that's like so much more holier because it goes in the Kodesh Kodashim. But the Metzius is the Big Day Zahav. He brings Kapara B'Klal Yisrael. So Ella on line five, Ella Nafdelemi D'Rebbe. So the Gemara says, now, this is within the sheet of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda will borrow a little bit from Rebbe. He says, Nafdelemi D'Rebbe, I'm a Rebbe, B'nayin L'Chamesh T'vila V'Asar Kedushin, Shavel Kong Yidol, L'Kadish Bo Bayom. Where do we know that the Kohen has to be Tovel five times and do 10 Kiddushin? Tamalomar Ksona by Kodesh Yobash. Halamanata, Kol Mishnami Avoda Lavoda, Shtaon Tzvila. So, again, Rabbi Yehuda's learning Tzvila from Pasuk Chaf Gimel. But Lechora, that's only going to teach him that I need Tzvila when I'm putting on the Big Day Zahav. Where does he know the need to be the one you put on the big day abad? He's going to have to borrow a little bit from Rebbe and learn a little bit from Rebbe's pasuk. So it says when you put on the big day abad, you also do tefillah. Let's see in a minute. So Ashkan, we begin of the big day lavan. So I see from Big Day Zahav to Big Day Levan, you have to be Tovel, Big Day Levan, the Big Day Zahav Minayan. So where do we know the other way around? So Tana Tavid Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer. So it was a Braisa, this is the Braisa that we had from on top. He says, Ma Big Day Levan Shain Kapartan Ruba, Tun and Tzvila, that the, this not the same Kavachomer we had above, this is a different Kavachomer. He's the other way around, right? He says, Big Day Levan don't have like so much kapara, but the do tefila. So certainly that has that. So ikal mifrach mal big day levan ki nitzas ben l'tayv l'fdim. So, but the big days have, but the big levan have a certain chomer that go l'tayv l'fdim. So the Gemara says ha'inu d'tani v'omer big day kodesh heim rachatz v'stro b'mayim l'vei sham. So he says that's why. In the Brisa, it was this was with one second. This was in the Shita of Rebbe, right? That's why Rebbe says that you need the Omer Big Day Kodesh Hem. In other words, midway down the column, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Rebbe has Big Day Kodesh Hem. That there's a hekesh between all the garments. All right. Now, okay. All right. So I think we're okay with that. All right. Everybody okay still? Everybody still alive? All right. So let me go further. Any questions, comments, thoughts so far? All right. Now again, we're quoting from the Braisa. The Chamesh Avodot Heim. We said there are five Avodot, and it means like sets of Avodot on Yom Kippur. He says, Tamid Shloshachar B'Big Day Zahav. You have the again, we're just quoting from the Braisa that we did in Amud Aleph. You have the Tamid Shloshachar, the morning Korban, you're wearing the Big Day Zahav, the golden garments, the eight begadim. Avodah Yom, the Big Day Levan. Then the Avodah Yom. The Avodah Yom is there's this lottery with the two goats, and the Kohen Gadol takes one of the goats and shechs it, and he has a par, a bull. He shechs that. Then he comes in and he sprinkles the blood in the kodesh, and then he takes ketoret and he goes into the kodesh kadashim. That's all the Avodah Yom. That's Big Day Levan. Then Elo ve'Elha Big Day Zahav. Then he goes out. He brings his own aisle. And the aisle from the people, he says, "Big Day Zahav." Then Kach Machta Big Day Levan. Then he goes back and the Kodesh Kedashim retrieves the ladle and the pan with the coal in it. He says, "Then Tamid Shabbat Arba Big Day Zahav." Now, Uminayin Shakol Tefila to the Sricha Shnei Kiddushin. And how do I know? Again, this is still part of the quote from the Braisa. How do I know that each immersion in the mikveh requires two Kiddushin to wash the hands and feet twice? Tamalomor Fashat Rachatz Rachatz V'Lavash. It says this was according to Rebbe. It says rachatz once, but he's like darshing it that it goes on both. Hi, so the Gemara says, "Hi, betvila k'tiv." Yeah, but this pasuk is talking about immersing in a mikveh. When it says rachatz kol b'stro b'mayim, that's a code for immersing in the mikveh. And Rebbe's using it to teach me a din in kiddush adayim raglayim. So im eino yinin l'tvila. So Rebbe would say, "Look, if I don't need it to teach me tvila, why?" Then after Lamy Big Day Kodesh Heim, so he learns that from Pasuk Gimel. So Rebbe's learning from Pasuk Gimel immersion in what it says over there to immerse in the mikvah. So it's Tanei Wini in the Kiddush. So I'm going to say that the second mention of Rachatz at Kobas Rabamayim, I don't need to teach me immerse in the mikvah. I'm going to say it's referring to Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So the Gemara says, "Will Katfi Rachman Lashon Kiddush." So why doesn't the Torah just write it what it means? Why does she just say he should be Mekadosh's hands and feet in the Kiyor? Why does it say Rechatzik Kol B'Sro B'Mayim? HaKamash Malan. So what the Torah is alluding to is teaching me the Tefillah Kiddush, that immersing the mikvah is like Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Ma Kiddush B'Makom Kadosh. Just like the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be B'Makom Kadosh, means it has to be in the base of Mekdash. He's going to the Kiyor. That's in the base of Mekdash. Af Tefillah B'Makom Kadosh. So Tefillah, except for the first one, also has to be B'Makom Kadosh, has to be in the base of Mekdash. Okay, so that's within Rebbe. Now, Rebbe Yehuda, Kiddush Manalei. So the Gemara says, just one second. Now, where does, again, we had the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda learned from Uvaron Lakodesh, he learned immersion in the mikveh. So he's learning immersion in the mikveh there. Where does he learn that you need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda Kiddush Panalei, Nach Galim the Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. He's going to learn it out from Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon said we have a Kal V'Chomer. If a regular Kohen who is not required on a Torah level, which is what Rabbi Yehuda agrees with, to immerse in a mikvah before he does a vote, he has to kiddush shadayim raglayim. Acha kama kama, where the Torah does require him to be tovel, he needs kiddush shadayim raglayim. And then he says, and then he also had, and how did he learn the other end? That was a hekesh, right? He said, what did he have at the end? He says, The hakesh between disrobing and robing. So if I know that I have to do kiddush shadayim raglayim when I dress, I know that I have to do it when I disrobe as well. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so Adkan, we've analyzed the Braisa. We're almost done with this Braisa. Any questions, comments, thoughts, and anything I did so far? Yeah, I can see Fern there. What do we got?
Hi. When they were going the Chamesh Avodot Hain, and they were talking about Lavan Zahav, if it's the rule that Zahav is Chutz and Lavan is Kodesh Kodashim, and if we know that these are where these avodot are, why did they have to tell us?
Say again, if why did they have to tell us what?
That this is Lavan and this is Ahav. If we know that this sprinkling of the blood is in Kodesh.
Why did the Torah have to? I mean, but the only reason we know
is why did the Torah have to list it?
Why did the Gemara have to list it?
It went through the Avodot and it said which clothes they were wearing. What do you mean? We know where they are. We know what clothes they're wearing.
I think the Gemara is clear. In other words, from an analysis of the Psukim, you mean?
Right.
Yes, yeah, so, but the Gemara is clear. Like, but remember, we saw that the Psukim were not in chronological order, right? Remember, we said that one Pasuk was out of chronological order?
Where these Avodot were taking place. Don't we know that? Are we learning it out from these psukim
where the avodot are taking place? We know where the avodot take place, but we didn't know the clear chronology. In other words, from the psukim and chumash, it sounds like you have avodot chutz, avodot panim, avodot chutz. If I read the psukim alone, that's what I would conclude. You have avodot chutz, you do the tamid, then I do the avodot panim, and then I do the avodot chutz. That's what I would say if I read the psukim by themselves. So it's only Chazal, though, are teaching us that that's not correct, right? That's the Gemara we did at the beginning.
They're putting in the insertions. Okay.
Right. Well, we're flipping over some of the avodot. In other words, we're flipping over
the order of the avodot.
The aisle, first we do the aisle, and then we finish the avodot's panim. So we end up with we have like five to be low, but I wouldn't know that just from looking at the Sukkim. So the Torah is listing the avodot, and then we went through that gra as to why the Torah lists it the way it does. Does that help you?
It's good enough. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
What is the difference between immersion and sanctification? And is there a physical difference?
Okay. So for immersion, we're going to use the word tevila. Tevila, to be tovel in a mikvah. Tovel means to immerse in a mikvah. And for sanctification, we're going to use the word kiddush. Kiddush yadayim raglayim. So immersion in a mikvah, you undress and you go under the water. That's immersion. Okay, kiddush yadayim raglayim is every kohen every day during the year. Before he begins to avoda, he sticks his hands and feet under this laver where the water pours out and he washes his hands and feet. That's kiddush yadayim raglayim.
So it's a different form of cleaning.
One is just hands and feet and one is the whole body.
Got it. You've now explained it.
Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's go back to the Gemara, and we'll try to wrap it up. Okay, now, we're up to Amar Rav Chisda. Everybody have Amar Rav Chisda? Around 20 lines from the bottom, I'm Amid Beis, 32b. Amar Rav Chisda, Had Rebbe, Mafkimid Rebbe Meir, Mafkimid Rabbanan. So Rav Chisda, the way Rav Chisda understands Rebbe, remember, Rebbe learned it from Upashat Brachat V'Lavash, right? That's where Rebbe learned the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, right? It says the Upashat, he takes off his garments, then brachatz, then in between it says brachatz et kubas rabamayim, but Rebbe learned that it's referring to kiddush v'dayim raglayim, washing the hands and feet, and then he's washing the hands and feet, and then he'll wear the garments. So the way Rav Chisda understood Rebbe, the person is always unrobed when he's doing the kiddush v'dayim raglayim on Yom Kippur. That's the way Rav Chisda understood Rebbe. That, in other words, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing any clothes. In other words, he disrobes, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim, he immerses in the mikvah, then he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim, and then he gets dressed. That's the way Rebbe understood it. You know, I would say it's a little bit awkward because he has to walk over to where the kiyor is, but they would probably work something out for him. Well, he's not wearing any of the begadim, right, when he's wearing it. Yeah, so the Gemara says, so based on that understanding, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda had the Rebbe, the Shita of Rebbe, the way Rav Chisda understands Rebbe, it's different than the Shita of the Tana Reb Meir and different from the Shita of Chachamim. And remember, yesterday we went over this, and it's on Shabbos's daf as well. So we'll see it. We'll go over once more. So the Chachamim hold, again, they agree you have to do Kiddush Raglayim twice. They hold before he disrobes, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim, and then after he's dressed, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim. Whereas the way Rav Chisda understands Rebbe, they're both disrobed, and the Chachamim, they're both robed. Okay, that's so Rav Chisda, Rebbe is different the way Rav Chisda understands him than the Chachamim. Umafkamid Rebbeir. And the way Rav Chisda understands Rebbe, he's different than the Tan Rebbeir. Yil Rebbeir Amar Haf Kiddush Batra Chulabush Mekadesh. Rebbe Meir holds that in Achinami, he'll do Kiddush Daim Raglayim after he's disrobed, when he's taking off the clothes. That part agrees with Rebbe, according to Rav Chisda. But Rebbe Meir will hold that when he wears the new garments, then he'll wash again. And Rebbe holds when he's not wearing any clothes. So again, let's just divide up the Shito the way Rav Chisda has it. So according to Rebbe, he'll do Kiddush Daim Raglayim after, when he disrobes and when he puts on clothes. Everybody agrees with that. But according to Rebbe, he does the Kiddush Daim Raglayim when he's not wearing the old clothes before he goes to the mikvah. And then he'll go into the mikvah. And then before he puts on new clothes, he'll do Kiddush Daim Raglayim. That's the way Rebbe understands it. And the Chachamim hold, he'll always be wearing clothes when he does the Kiddush Daim Raglayim. So before he disrobes, he washes his hands and feet. And then when he puts on the new clothes, he'll wash his hands and feet. Right. Okay. So that's Rebbe, and that's the Chachamim. And according to Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir is agreeing to Rebbe in one half of it. He agrees that he'll disrobe, do the Kiddush Daim Raglayim, then go into the mikvah. But he holds that when he puts on the new clothes, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim. All right. So the Gemara says, Amar Bacha Bar Yaakov. Now, Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees with Rav Chisda's understanding of Rebbe. So, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a kol modem b'kiddush sheni shelo v'shvachar kach mekadesh. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says everyone agrees, meaning Rebbe, the Chachamim, Rav Meir hold that when he puts on the new clothes, the kiddush v'raglayim takes place after he puts on the second set of clothes. My taima, why is that the case? The Amar Kra over gishtam esbech sharet. In other words, they have to wash their hands when they come close to the mizbeach. So the person's missing only coming close. In other words, he's dressed, but he's missing only approaching the mizbeach. In other words, the Torah says, before you approach the mizbeach, you have to wash your hands and feet. But the only thing you're missing is approaching the mizbeach. Everything else is lined up. All the ducks are lined up. You're wearing the begadim. So the way he understands it, everybody will agree that if the Kiddush Daim Raglayim is before the Avodah, after you're wearing the new begadim, so you have to be dressed for it. So Amalei, now this is a different Rav Acha now. Amalei Rav Acha bari d'Rav Rav Ashi, lo Rav Chisda idlei d'Rav Acha, lo Rav Acha idlei d'Rav Chisda. Means Rav Chisda's view and Rav Acha's view are not cumulated. They're mutually exclusive. Meaning, if I hold like Rav Chisda, that Rebbe holds that I'm doing the Kiddush Daim Raglayim when he's undressed, he doesn't hold that he'll do it after he's dressed. And similarly, according to Rav Acha's view, that he's doing the Kiddush Reglaim after he's dressed, he's not going to do it before. He says, the im kein, because if I would say that everything is accumulated, he says, the Rebbe, Habalei Chameisar Kiddushim, would come out the 15 Kiddushim Reglaim according to Rebbe. In other words, if you take all the views, if you hold that Rebbe says he does Kiddushim Reglaim after he's undressed, then he does Kiddush Reglaim before he dresses. Then he does Kiddush Reglaim after he gets dressed. So it would come out that he'd have to do 15 Kiddush Reglaim. Because each time there would be three instead of two. Again. All right. So I'm going to repeat again. Okay. So everybody focus. Okay. The way Rav Chista is explaining the Shita of Rebbe. Rebbe is based on the Pasuk, Upashat Rachatz V'Lavash. Right, so Rebbe, like Yosef says, holds no clothes. That's Rebbe. So according to Rav Chista's understanding of Rebbe, he's changing clothes, so he takes off the clothes, he does Kiddush Dayim Raglayim, goes into the mikveh, and then before he puts on the next set of clothes, he does Kiddush Dayim Raglayim. But according to Rav Acha holds that everyone agrees that when you're putting on the new clothes, you do Kiddush Raglayim after you put on the new clothes. So the Gemara is saying those two opinions are mutually exclusive and not cumulative. If I take both those opinions and put them together, it would come out that Rebbe holds you need 15 Kiddush Reglaim line, because you need one after he takes off the old clothes, one before he puts on the new clothes, and one after he puts on the new clothes. So he has three instead of two. So it would come out 15 during the day. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did? All right. Let's go to the last segment of Gemara, and then let's take a look. So on four lines above where it gets wide, on Lamed Beis, 32b. Have you learned a Tamid Kratzah B'chulei? We said that they brought the Korban Tamid, it's the lamb, for the daily sacrifice to the Kohen Gadol, and Kratzah, he makes the incision. My Kratzah, what does Kratzah mean? Amar Ula Lishna Dikkalahu. So Ula says it means it's a language that implies killing. He says, "I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yosef Micro. What's the pasuk that's for?" So I want to know what the meaning of the Hebrew word is, and I look and I find the word in Tanakh, so I have a good idea what the word means. So the word kratzo, I don't think you'll find in Chumash, but you do find it in Tanakh. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, "Egla yefeifia Mitzrayim." Mitzrayim, Egypt, is a beautiful egla. He said a beautiful heifer, like a female calf. Keretz nitzafon baba. Keretz is definitely coming from Bava, it's like a double verb, it's definitely coming from the north. So my mashma, so what is the meaning of the word Keretz? In the Metargim Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef, he was blind, but he translates the Sukkim. Malka Yoi Hav Mitzrayim, it's a very nice kingdom, Egypt. Mink Tulin Mitzipona Yetunala. But people are going to come from the north and attack it. Presumably the Bablium, like the you know, like there's a one of our haftaras. He says, "Mitzafon tipatacha ra'ah." The evil is coming from the north. In other words, like Babylonia, even though it's the east of Eretz Yisrael, but if you come around the Fertile Crescent, they're arching over. So it's like coming from the north. Anyway, so mitzipona. So the point is that keretz means like to kill. So the Gemara says, "Ratzobakama." So he makes an incision in the lamb. How much? So Amar Ula Barov Shnayim. So Ula says, Barov Shnayim, as we've discussed, and definitely people have had this before, so, and I mentioned the other day, so with an animal, you have two simanim, two organs that have to be cut, the kana and the veshet. The kana is the trachea, the veshet is the esophagus. So you have to cut Rov Shnayim. So the Gemara says you have to cut most of them. So Amar Ula Barov Shnayim, Bechein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Barov Shnayim. Rabbi Yochanan also says Barov Shnayim. But Af Reish Lakish Savar Barov Shnayim, and Reish Lakish also holds Rov Shnayim. The Amar Reish Lakish. Now, this piece of Gemara from Reish Lakish is taken from a Sechet Chulin. He says the Amar Reish Lakish Muhime Parshini Rubish Lachak Kamohu. So Mishnah over there says that it's talking about not Kachim but Chulin. If you shecht a Chulin animal, so Rubish Lachak Kamohu. If you do Rov the Siman, you're good to go. So the Mishnah says Rubish Lachak Kamohu. So Lamashin Robachad Ba'of Rov Shnayim Behema. But then the end of the Mishnah says, I need Robachad Ba'of, if it's a bird, I need just one Siman, which we know, and Rov Shnayim Behema. But I already know that there's one Siman to cut by the bird and two Siman by the Behema. So why does it repeat? It seems like a redundant halacha. So this is Vapisha Shaninu. So Reish Lakish explains in Chulin, since we learned with three lines from the bottom of the base and base, says Vapisha Shaninu, Hevilu at a Tamid Pratso, Umirika Cher Shkita Yado. They brought in the Korban Tamid, and the Kohen Gadol cut through the Simanim, and then somebody completed the Shkita. Another Kohen completed the Shkita. The Kibel and Adam, the Kohen Gadol, received the blood in the Keli, who's Rako, and then he did Zrika. So Reish Lakish says, Yecholami Reikihe Pasul. So I might have thought that if the decision was not completed, it would be Pasul. So where does it stop? Yecholami Reikihe Pasul. I might have thought if he didn't complete it, it would be Pasul. He says, In Kain Havile Aboda Ba'acher. If, according to that way that you would be thinking, you might have thought. So if the whole Simon is crucial for the Avoda, he says, so he says, in Kain Havile Avoda Ba'acher. Then it would mean that the Avoda on Yom Kippur is being done by somebody who's not the Kohen Gadol. We learn in the Paraisa that it has to be done with the Kohen Gadol. So it can't be that I can't have even thought that that's vital. So no, the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. This is what Reish Lakish meant. I might have thought that if he doesn't complete, if the Simanim are not totally cut through entirely, it's possible on a Drabanan level, on a rabbinic level, because you want the blood to really flow out. She says, so therefore, that's why I have this apparently redundant line in the Mishnah, in the Sechet Chulin, that I need Robachab Behema to teach me that even for the Avod on Yom Kippur, even by Kachim, on a Doraisa level, it's fine, as long as you have the robe. In other words, it's teaching me not only on a Doraisa level, even on a Drabanan level, it's fine. That you're fine with just the robe, you're finished. The Gemara says, so there's not even a Psul Midrabanan. She says, Lamali the Meirat. So why do I need anybody to complete it? In other words, the Kohen Gadol is going to cut through most of the Kana. The Kohen Gadol is going to cut through most of the Veshet. Another Kohen is going to come and complete the incision, go all the way through. But if it's totally unnecessary, why do I need this other Kohen to do it? So it says mitzvah lamarek. It's a separate mitzvah in lamarek. You look at Rashi, you know, it's here adam yafet. In other words, the blood will flow out very nicely if the whole thing is cut. That's what we're looking for. But in Achinami, there's al pi halacha, the shechita is fine even with just rope. Okay, all right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, we have a question from the audience here. This is Yosef Margareta just walked in, and we're welcome. And okay, what do you got for me, Yosef?
Practical, not just imagine a shochet. He's trying to shechita, and he intentionally doesn't cut the whole thing. I have a feeling the whole thing is going to go wrong, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're talking about less than a tenth of a second. You're doing this, and all it takes...
I don't understand. What is the question?
Exactly.
Look, who completed? No. The Gemara is going to explain. The Kohen Gadol, he's got to do Kabbalah Sadai.
Again, you're talking about less than one tenth of a second. Once you do this,
no, but the blood is spurting out. He's got to collect the blood, and he's and the chachila.
You still do the shechita here. No. Now you tell me. When you do this, then don't do this.
No. First of all, listen, it's an animal. It's not a bird. An animal. An animal is a bigger animal. It's a thicker neck. Well, you go, there's no limit on how many times you go back and forth, but it could be he'll just do once or twice. But the thing is, once he cuts the robe, he wants to immediately get the bowl in there. He doesn't want to lose any blood. Anyway, so Yosef was asking, he was saying, why should he even stop? But I was saying that the blood will spurt out, and he wants to collect all the blood in the bowl. We want the blood to come out, but we want him to be able to collect it. Well, all right, now let's see this thing. I'll read a little piece here from the Al-Hadaf, and then I think that'll be it. So he has a piece here. Rishonim disagree whether the rabbinic obligation for another Kohen to complete the slaughter of the animal is unique to Yom Kippur, or perhaps it applies to all offerings. So in other words, the question is, we learned now by the Avod on Yom Kippur that I have to have, in other words, somebody's going to do Shechita, let's say Kohen is doing Shechita, so he should stop after the Rov, and another Kohen should complete it, and he'll do the Kabbalah Saddam. Is that just a din on Yom Kippur? Or is it a din 365 days during the year? So one could argue it applies only in Yom Kippur when Hashem is seen as the king, and there's a unique obligation to pour greater honor to the king, Rovam Hadar Melech. On the other hand, one could propose that the mitzvah applies to all offerings because it is helpful for extracting the blood of the korban. The difference between the two approaches is whether it's permitted for a second kohen to complete the slaughtering of an animal in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. He says, if the rabbinic edict applies only on Yom Kippur, it would be prohibited for a second kohen to complete a slaughter that meets the minimum requirements of valid shlita. In other words, here on Yom Kippur, there was a din to Rabbanan that, if I say it this way, if I say that it's only a din on Yom Kippur, so it's like a double-edged sword. In other words, shlita is a malacha, but where the chachamim require me to do the malacha in a certain way, if they have one of the Beis HaMikdash, I have to do it. But if it's normally not required, so maybe I should just do like the robe and then call it a day. He said, the above discussion relates specifically to sacred service. When it comes to general slaughtering, Tuchar states that ideally the chachila, one should never sever the entire width of the trachea and esophagus, regardless of whether it is an animal or bird. If, however, one severed a majority of the trachea and esophagus and stopped, and the animal is slow to die, one should not finish the shechita, but rather he should hit the animal on its head. The reason one should not finish the shechita is a concern that pausing in the middle of a shechita renders the animal a trefa out of the... All right. Anyway, that's all I have with this. Okay. Now, let me end the recording.
Oh, I got a question.
What?
If just the Kohen Gadol is doing the Shechita,
right,
and the blood is spurting all over the place, isn't that going to get all over his white linen garments?
Again, first of all, when he's doing the Shechita, well, when he's wearing the Shechita, he's wearing the 8 garments, but he can't get any blood on the garments. I don't know. It's a common problem in the Beis Mikdash. It's not just on Yom Kippur. Kohen are allowed to soil the garments. So I don't know how to explain, but presumably they knew how to do Shechita in a way that didn't get the blood on them. I don't know more to say. They could have had a long knife also. We saw that yesterday they were talking about a long knife being outside of the Azara and do Shechita inside. All right.
But the parochet must have been filthy.
The parochet. So the Gemara says. Where is that Gemara?
It Zvachim? Says that.
The Gemara says. Is it in?
They found the blood-stained parochet.
Yeah. Where?
Right?
Where was that? Was that in Meila? The Gemara says that one of the chachamim went to Rome and he saw the parochet and it had the blood.
Right. Cried.
Okay. Anyway, I think I'm going to end the recording. One second. Let me end recording.